What's up, guys? Welcome to Behind the Skies. I'm Josh and half of Eerie Skies, and this is going to be something a bit new for us, a podcast slash video series where we are going to chat with other producers, artists, and creators in general about their workflows, projects, daily lives, and just have some fun, in-depth conversations about what we have going on here at Eerie Skies and what our talented creative friends have going on as well. So with that being said, let's chat. I'm joined here today with Stoic Beats, and we're just going to be chatting about production, our creative process, and all the things that goes into the work we make, and then some questions that you guys had for us as well. So how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me, Erie.
Yeah, bro, of course. So I guess we can jump right in. You're actually, out of all the guys I met beat-wise, you were the first one I met. I think it was when I posted that Gone beat, you commented, you were like, send me some reverse samples that are similar to this.
Yeah, that beat was crazy. I love that one.
Yeah, and then we made Out of Body after that, and then we just kind of rolled from there.
Yeah, Out of Body slept on. If you guys ain't listening to that one, please. Out of Body, so I slept like on.
In the right hands, that could be a crazy, crazy beat.
Definitely.
But yeah, I guess we could jump right in.
Yeah, I'm ready.
I guess the first thing is someone asked, why did we start producing? Like, what was the reason that you got into it?
Okay, so my reason for producing was kind of by accident. So I remember I got into Machine. That's my DAW that I still use till today, even though I'm trying to switch over to Ableton. But I was watching YouTube videos, and I actually saw it was Kendrick, one of Kendrick's producers that he works with, did a demonstration on him using Machine to make the song Shireen on Good Kid, Mad City, which is the opening track. And he was showing himself doing the drums using the Machine, and I was like, man, like at the time that was my favorite album, still one of the greatest albums of all time. But at the time that was my favorite album, and I just kept listening to that, and I was like, man, I think I want to do something like that. So I went out, I think this was my junior year of high school, so I was probably 16, 17, around there. And I just bought a Machine. I was playing around with it for a couple of years, and here we are.
And that's pretty dope.
Yeah. How about you?
Mine was, I used to record artists in my mom's basement. Like, that was kind of how I started with music.
Okay.
And I remember we would buy so many beats, and it was so expensive. It'd be like, you know, because you're not making any money. We never had any plays.
Right, so
we would just spend hundreds and hundreds on beats, and then I got to the point where I was like, all right, I'll try and make my own beats, and then started using splice loops and samples from YouTube, and just kind of started making really, really crappy beats. And then eventually, I mean, they got okay. But then I never expected the channel to get anywhere to where it is now, so it's been a fun ride.
Yeah, your blow-up has been amazing. Like, you, I feel like you and Saint, you guys definitely know Saint if you know us, have the same kind of trajectory on, kind of came out of nowhere and just took YouTube, like the type beat game, by storm. So, props to you for that. I think that was amazing.
Yeah, thanks. It was actually funny because me and Saint, like before this all, we used to comment back and forth on each other's videos, and like we were talking when we had like 600 or 700 subscribers, and then one of my beats blew up, and then one of his beats blew up, and then we just kind of like, we've been right by each other's side though, and like numbers wise the whole time, so it's been kind of funny.
But and I think another thing that's important, as you just mentioned, is for producers that are just trying to come up and can't seem to get any traction, really what you got to do is just keep putting your stuff out there, and when that one beat hits, that's really when you're going to take off. I think I had about, this time last year, I probably only had about 4,000, maybe even 3,000 subscribers. And it just took one beat that was literally a splice loop. Guys, get on Splice if you don't have it, because that
is going to... Splice is clutch.
So slept on, but like... So I put out this Mac Miller type beat. It's called Alone. And it just blew up out of nowhere. Someone took it on TikTok. And you know, that gave me, I would say, a large chunk of my fan base So just keep putting stuff out there. It doesn't matter if you're not in love with the beat. You got to get it out there, or else people just aren't going to hear it.
Yeah, and what are you at now? Like 24,000, 25,000?
Yeah, I think we're about to hit 24.
That's pretty sweet. Yeah, no, honestly, yeah. I think the thing that sets people aside, like when you have a beat blow up, mm-hmm. is you need to have a catalog. Like you need to have a large, like if you have one beat blow up and you got 10 other beats that really aren't that good that you didn't put effort into, mm-hmm. it's not really gonna translate to the other beats. But if you have one good beat that blows up and you got 30 other beats on your channel that you're really proud of, then that's 30 other beats that you could sell from that one beat blowing up.
Very true. Yeah.
So I think having a catalog longevity wise is important too, because you can sell beats for the next 30 years if you really wanted to.
Definitely. Yep.
But I think that's definitely pretty key.
Speaking of that, do you? I'm sorry to cut you off, but do you have any plan? What are your plans moving forward as a producer? Because I know you're in school. I just finished school. I know you're still in school, but what do you have plans, or is this just kind of coming out of nowhere? You haven't planned yet.
Well, I mean, to your point, the channel did kind of blow up quicker than I expected it to. And I will say one thing, like when it comes to tight beats and sales, is a lot of people don't think there's a living to be made in this, but completely false. I think I don't know about you or where you stand on this, but I think as a producer, you can make more money than with a college degree.
Definitely a fact. Yep.
But my current plan is, I think as long as I can keep doing both, as long as I can keep doing school and keep doing the beats on YouTube, I will, you know, keep the schedule full, do both of them and get the degree. The ultimate goal though is to graduate and kind of, I think it's kind of similar to what you're doing, is graduate and just go hard on the music and just put my head down and just do that for as long as I possibly could.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to have the degree to fall back on, but, you know, even with the degree today, it's really hard, depending on what you do, to get anywhere in the workforce. So if you're, you know, if you're prospering on YouTube off tight beats, keep it going as long as you can, and just try to have a plan for what to do next in case it goes south, you know?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I mean, always, and just be smart with what you're doing and just be ready for if something, like you said, goes wrong.
Just in case.
At the end of the day, you could... What were you saying?
Nah, you go.
I was saying, at the end of the day, I mean, your channels can fall off at any moment. You could lose... You can go from 100,000 views a week to nothing, or you could blow up. I mean, it's just you cannot control anything with that.
Right. The only thing you can control is your rate of work, which you're also really good at. You're very consistent with your videos, and I think that's a big reason as to why... You know, you could blow up initially and then just kind of get stagnant, or you can keep the momentum going. I think you've been doing that very well. So that's another big thing for producers.
I think that was some advice I think you gave me a while back when we first started, because you kind of you only said be consistent. But I mean, at the end of the day, consistency is important. But I don't think consistency means every day. I think consistency is also like quality. If you post 2 times a week and you're quality, that's consistent. You're consistently putting out good work.
Right.
So I think quality, you want to post at least 2 times a week as a producer, maybe more.
I agree with that. I do also agree, though. I'm not posting every day of the week, though I am making music every day of the week. And I think that's really important.
I completely agree.
You share the same thing, because just it helps so much with your workflow, with picking out sounds, with experimenting with new sounds. You got to be doing it every day, or else, you know, it's like use it or lose it, basically.
Yeah, I mean, and at the end of the day, it's kind of like, it's like any other profession and any other job. Practice is just what's going to make you better.
Right.
So if you're touching the keys every day, you're making loops, drums, or just using samples and chopping samples, I mean, that's music in itself. I think just being on the computer every day is key.
I agree.
To keep it going and keep your stuff going.
I'm just opening up. I had some questions for you that I wrote down. I don't want to forget them.
Cool.
Oh, here's one completely off topic. What's your favorite album of all time, if you had to say?
Oof.
I know, it's a tough question. It's not supposed to be easy.
That is a tough question. I think the one that inspired me the most, and like I still will bump on the daily, I actually start like every session with the same song. It's Faces by Mac Miller.
Ah, Faces.
Yeah, that's that album. like Funeral, Grand Finale, those songs, I listen to them probably like once a day. And that sounds really weird, but it's just the production and stuff that he did on that, and seeing like his process. And he was just one of my favorite artists. He's just kind of...
Yeah. Now, I seen you got the wall art of the Faces album. That's yeah, pretty dope.
It's actually right behind me right now, so...
Cool, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. What about you, if you had to pick a favorite album?
Oh, easily, To Pimp a Butterfly. That was just the most, like, pivotal album of just growing up. I remember, quick story about that. I was in school. I was in high school, and I think it came out in... sometime in the spring, I want to say like March or April, but he said that he was releasing an album in 2 weeks or something, and then out of nowhere, I remember it was like 10, 11 o'clock in the morning, he just put it on Apple Music, he just said, here's the album, it was like a surprise release, so in my mind, that meant I got to leave school early. I went home, and I just laid in my bed, and I listened to this album, because I was already a big Kendrick fan, but it just blew me away. I think I listened to it maybe 4 times in a row, like, initially that day. I was crazy for it.
That's dope.
Yeah. I think These Walls did school is... and bumped the album. Yeah. Now, These Walls is just one of the craziest songs ever made. I hope agree with me.
I think that one of my favorite on that is the interlude. I think it's called For Sale, that interlude.
Yo, For Sale is crazy.
Yeah, that musically crazy. That song is just so well done. But I think that album changed a lot. I mean, the sampling, there's just so much shit that went into it. It's crazy.
Crazy. The production, Terrace Martin, Thundercat, Knowledge actually has one of my favorite beats on there with Mama. Which is huge for I wouldn't say, well, maybe it wasn't huge for him, but I think being able to land any beat on a Kendrick Lamar album is ridiculous. So,
I completely agree. I mean, that puts you on for a long time. There's a couple artists that have those types of albums that every song is going to be listened to and every song is going to be understood.
Right.
And he's definitely one of those artists.
Yep. But
definitely agree with that. All right, I got a question.
All right, I'm ready.
So from like start to end, is like, what does your day look like for just a person and as a producer? Like, how do you go about your day?
So ever since I'm out of school, which has only been about 2 or 3 weeks, but even when school was winding down, I wasn't as busy with it. My day, typically I will wake up I set an alarm for 8:45, but I'm not out of bed until 9:15 some days. I wake up, I go downstairs to my kitchen, I make some coffee, it's always iced coffee with some almond milk, shouts out almond milk, and I'll do any cleaning in my room that I need to do first, because I can't work with a dirty room. I feel like you don't have a clear mind unless, you know, you have a clear workspace. So my bed is always made, my clothes are always folded. You're never going to find my room in dirty.
Yeah, I agree with that one.
Yeah. I'll sit down, I turn on my speakers, and I usually start off with just listening to like a handful of songs or beats, whatever I'm feeling that day. Recently it's been Stevie Wonder. So I've been playing
Stevie Wonder type beat.
Yeah. He's been influencing me like a lot lately, but, yeah, usually it's Stevie Wonder. Sometimes it's usually either him, Tyler, Kendrick, Doom, people like that. But like, it's just some of my favorite artists. And then I kind of, recently actually, I haven't been getting right into making beats because I've been trying to learn Ableton. So I will watch about an hour's worth of tutorials, and then I'll take a half an hour to myself on Ableton and just play around and try to use what I learned so I can actually learn the DAW. But it's been pretty challenging so far.
Yeah. Learning the new DAW is a pain in the ass.
It's like a new language almost. And
It is.
Yeah. It's really tough, but I mean, that's what the pros are using. So I want to be on that level.
Yeah. Yeah. I almost switched to Ableton, but I find myself with Logic. It's like, I still learn new things every day.
Yeah.
But there are, I feel like every DAW has something better than the other one, and it's just kind of like they all have their pros and cons. It really, like, true. For me, a lot of like live instruments are good with Logic. So that's why it's like, all right, Logic is perfect. But
right, yeah. I haven't used Logic, but Machine definitely isn't great for live instruments. I actually record all my live instruments just through GarageBand. Like, I find it much easier that way. And then I just export the stems right to Machine. But Machine is really good for sampling, I will say that.
You actually turned me on to Machine.
Yeah.
And great Logic has a cool thing. Yeah, you can use, like, Machine as a VST in Logic, so I can kind of run them both hand in hand. So it's pretty sweet for sampling.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then after that, I try to read at least, like, 20 pages of a book per day. I'm reading this book called Shoe Dog right now. It's written by the founder of Nike, and it's just telling how, you know, his trials and tribulations through going, creating Nike. And it's really interesting. It has some good business advice. So I do some reading. I've been going for runs recently just to clear my mind and get some exercise in because, you know, the gyms are closed and it's kind of sucks, but what are you going to do?
Yeah.
And then after all that, I get into some beats cause I got a nice clear mind. I feel relaxed. And I think that's when I make my best music.
That's pretty dope.
Yeah. How about you?
Yeah. Mine is pretty similar. I'm like a really big morning person. I love mornings. So
you're always up so early. I always see that. You're always up at like 8 in the morning. Like you're working by 8 and I'm like, what is this guy doing? What's up with
you? Usually my days, because for school, I would always have 8 a.m.s. So I just got into this routine. I was like, all right, fuck it. But I usually get up around 6:45 and to the same, like I'll lay in bed till 7:15.
Yeah.
And then
That's early. That's good.
Yeah. But the first thing I'll do is the same as you, coffee. In the summer, it's iced coffee. When it's hot out, in the winter, it's hot coffee. It's kind of varies. Yeah. But then first thing I do is I usually take the first like 2 hours of my morning just to answer emails. I answer every comment, DMs, all that, just to like take the time to really like give people some thorough answers.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, without school, it's kind of like my day's pretty open. So I'll go for a run. Same as you, that'll clear my head, and then I'll be back by 11-ish, eat, and then get right into music. And I'll usually do music till like 6 or 7 p.m. And then after that, it's kind of like I'm really big on like seeing family, hanging out with friends. So for the last like 2 or 3 hours of my day, that's kind of like that's where a lot of my time and energy goes, because that helps. Like that's definitely a big part of my production. Is I can produce all day, but then it's kind of like giving that break between the next day, and that helps me.
Right.
Keep my stuff fresh.
Yeah, I'm pretty much the same way. I wouldn't say I go to 6 or 7 every day, but I will do like, I will go from about, let's say 12, I'll start, and then I'll go to 4, take a little break, whatever, sit outside. I mean, you really can't do anything now, but I'll go do something else, and then maybe I'll come back to it at like 7 to 10, but I don't like making music super late. Like, I agree, you need that break time, or else like your brain just starts turning to mush.
And for some reason, I don't like, I've had like studio sessions at night and stuff like that, but I don't like producing at night. I like working in the day.
Yeah.
And
me too.
Because I just feel like when the sun's out, I'm awake, I got energy, and I want to just keep going.
Yep, I agree with that.
But to your point, 100%. I don't like to burn myself out either. Like, I think at least 2 hours a day, every day, 2 hours a day has to be to music, but some days I'll go for 12, some days I'll go for 2. It's just kind of like, it depends.
Yep. I just think that having also a set routine and a set schedule, especially as a producer, which is if you want this to be your career, which I definitely do, you need to be the one giving yourself time slots to do so-and-so, whatever you need to do. But it can't just be I'll do it whenever, because that means you're probably not going to do it.
Exactly. Yeah, because you kind of put it like, I think it was like, I think this is how you say his name, Anthony Deluxe. I saw on his story like 6 months ago, it stuck with me when I saw it, but he posted something about like creating by habit is better than creating when you're inspired, because if you create when you're inspired, you won't really ever do shit. But if you do at least once a day, you're bound to maybe make something good every day or two. It's kind of like forces you. You're gonna, sometimes I do have to force myself to make beats, but then when I'm finished the beat, I'm like, oh, I'm glad I did that.
Yes, definitely. Sometimes you get your best stuff by just pushing through, but other times, you know, I don't necessarily believe in beat block, but I do believe that, you know, sometimes you're just not liking, your ears don't like what you make, and it could be a little frustrating, and you could be going for 4 hours and not make anything. But usually when that happens, well, half the time I'll keep going, half the time I'll just stop. I'll just give in, you know, like, it's not my day today, and you got to realize that.
Yeah, you just, not every day you're going to make a crazy beat. It just doesn't happen. And I also agree with the beat block thing. For me personally, I work like a lot with my stepbrother. His name's Chad. We do like most of my work. Mm-hmm. But it'll kind of be like sending stuff back and forth, and it's just 2 or 3 days per project, a lot of time. But at the end of the day, you told me this a while ago, like there's Splice, there's YouTube, there's so many things you can make beats with. So if you're not making something, it's most likely because you just don't feel inspired, your ears are off, you're not really caring about it, you're just and that's when you just got to walk away and take a little break.
Because there are so many resources. Like you go on Splice and dig through everything. You could you know, buy sample packs now. Everyone's selling a sample pack, every single producer. Like, there's no reason for you not to have any sounds to work with, or to think that you don't have any sounds to work with, because they're all there. You know,
Just a matter, at the end of the day, that's it. Everyone has the same exact resources at their hands. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a good and a bad thing. I mean, sometimes I hate when people will comment like, oh, I've heard this sample before. You're like, shit.
Oh, man, I hate that.
Yeah, that's why I like no samples, because it's like you don't really ever have to worry about that.
Exactly, yeah. It also makes you, feel, I don't know, for me personally, I'm like a little more proud of a beat that I use no samples. I mean, it might be obvious, but like, sometimes a sample on a beat is fine. I mean, it's fine all the time, but sometimes it turns out really well and you don't have to do anything to it.
Yeah, no, I agree though. There is a lot of fulfillment when you finish a beat and it's like everything in that was made with whoever you were working on it with, and it's all from scratch. It's kind of like a cool feeling.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's the same with anything else, right? If you make clothing and instead of purchasing it and designing it, you knit the whole thing and that's yours. Like, it's like you're proud of it.
Yeah, you made that from start to finish, and everything is just yours. Yeah, it's definitely a cool thing.
Agreed.
But I definitely I agree also with the what were you saying?
Nah, you go.
I was saying I agree with like the structure. I feel like a lot of people you look at, I'm not saying you have to have structure to be successful, but having structure and ensuring that certain things get done within certain hours of the day. You can have free time and do whatever the heck you want, but I think there should be parts of your day where you kind of have that structure and make sure you get stuff done.
Yep, I agree. A structure is everything to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same.
I will say on the weekends though, Saturday and Sunday specifically, not Friday, I wouldn't count that, but since I am treating it like a job, excuse me, and I am putting so much time into it during the week, sometimes even more than I would put if I was working, you know, a 40-hour work week at a regular job, I do give myself the weekends off a lot of the time. I feel like I need the break, you know?
Yeah, I agree with that too. I'll go see family and just take those, or I'll still maybe do a couple hours a day, but I think that weekends is kind of like, I agree with you, it's a job. Job. It's a job I love, which is cool.
Oh yeah, I love it. I love it. You can't complain.
Yeah, and at the forgot what I was gonna say. Damn, it just slipped my mind. But yeah, definitely taking the weekends off.
Yeah.
So.
You got any more questions?
Yeah, I got a couple more. Let's see.
All right. Oh wait, I have one for you before. Real quick.
All right, go ahead.
Where did the name come from, Eerie Skies?
That's actually funny. I think I was on YouTube, because I made the channel back in June. I was just scrolling through YouTube, couldn't find a name. Mm-hmm. And I remember, like, I heard something by Lil Skies. I was like, Skies is cool. I was like, that's a cool, name.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I always, like, I like really, like not, like, sad, but, like, relaxing and, like, softer music, and I was like, all right, well, that has like an eerie vibe to it, and then I just spelled eerie differently and put skies, and then threw a period at the end to give it, I guess, made it look cooler. What I thought, and then I just rolled with it, because I was only so bad at making names. Like, I used to make music under like my real name, like Josh Carroll, and it's just like, that's a boring ass name.
Yeah, it's not as good.
What about Stoic? Where did Stoic Beats come from?
stoic is actually an SAT word that I just really liked, and that's all it means. But I after I made it, it turned out that I also really like the meaning of it. I like the sound and the meaning, but the meaning just being, you know, the theories of stoicism, and the it's basically like living with mindfulness and just a general like calm, but like intelligence. I just like the sound of that, and I felt like the music I wanted to make would just give would be like, you know, mostly like calm, like just like nice vibes. At the time I wasn't making any like trap stuff, so I was like, yeah, it's stoic, that's like it just fit to me.
Yeah, and it's and it, when you see it, it's really easy on the eyes. Like, I feel like yeah. having a name that is like not soft, but almost like when you see it, it's short, it's catchy, it's easy to look at. I think that's super big. And you want to have a name when you type it into a search bar, you want to be the only thing that comes up. I think that's super important for anyone starting.
Yeah,
a production.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. You can't use. I mean, you can't be too generic with it. It's definitely hard to find. It's very oversaturated.
Yeah, there's so many type beats. That's what I said. It's like sometimes I'm looking at it like, how the heck did I get any followers in this type of industry where it is right now?
But I agree with that. I agree with that.
A lot of luck in the YouTube algorithms.
But. Man, a lot of it. But, yeah. You know, it's not completely luck. It's just compounded work plus consistency.
Yeah, and to anyone out there who is making beats, I mean, like you said earlier, it literally just takes one.
Once
I left for when my I have had the beat Lost Thoughts blew up, I left for a week trip, and I came back and it had like 4,000 views. I'm like, whoa, that's a lot. And it just kept going and going and going, and then it just wouldn't stop. It was pretty nuts.
That's awesome.
But when it does blow up, you have to like, you really got to double down, and because you're not gonna be in that stage of blow up all the time. Like, it will kind of flatten out eventually, but you got to capitalize on it, get as many followers as you can in that time, and then you have a fan base now, so you can just keep working.
Definitely. I was actually going to say, I was going to mention that you started your channel last June, right? So about a year old?
Yeah, it was June or July. I think it was early July.
About a year. So,
yeah, about a year.
A lot of people don't have that same, I'm not going to use the word luck, but that same trajectory, I think, is fair to say. Most people don't, because I've actually had this, I've had my account since 2015, and I was posting stuff and getting no views for about three, almost 4 years. So, you know.
But you stuck with it, and then that shit just paid off.
Yeah, to anyone that might be discouraged, I know people that... Before I had 1,000 views, we were both, we stayed connected, and, we were just going back and forth. And now that I have all these subscribers, which I'm extremely thankful for, they are still, you know, kind of like trying to make it and trying to keep, blowing up. And they, you know, they haven't gotten anywhere, and they've been going as long, if not as, you know, longer than I have. So, I think there is something to say.
There's so much talent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think a perfect example of that is, I mean, you worked with him on a beat is Arcane. 18 and Arcane. Those are the two guys that
Arcane too. Yeah, he's sick.
Yeah, but 18, no, that guy is insanely talented. We have made some crazy beats.
I say 18 because he is literally like a top tier sample maker. And like, not even sample maker, but like, he makes compositions and he plays a lot of instruments, and he grinds, and I'm scared for the day when he blows up, because
it's gonna be
gonna
game
have
over.
Some good competition. Yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna
yeah.
But I think
Arcane too, but yeah.
Yeah. But when you look at 18, I mean, that guy is he's gifted with it. He's got musical knowledge, talent, and he's just a cool guy to talk to and like work with.
Yeah.
Which is huge. Yep. And as producers, I mean, we don't really, and I think you're the same, when an artist texts me or hits me up and they want to work, or a producer, people always be like, oh, I got this many monthly listeners. And I'm like, all right, well, in this day and age, you can buy followers. I mean, at the end of the day, if your music's good, then it's work. But if it's not,
right.
You know,
right.
So
that's another thing. Everyone stop buying followers. It's horrible.
Yeah, don't do that.
It messes your whole thing up. It messes the algorithm up. It puts your account at risk for being, you know, tampered with. And it just looks like, it looks kind of stupid. I mean, there's an easy way to tell. We all know how to tell fake followers. You go and you check out a post, and when you have 17 likes and 17,000 followers, it doesn't add up. So
no, not at all. I mean, it's not. And I think the biggest thing is engaging with people. Oh, hold on. Camera cut off. Okay.
Oh no.
I think the big, no, I turned it back on. The biggest thing is engage with the people who comment on your videos and your fans. Comment and if you can, answer everybody. I mean,
yep.
Because those are people. They're people that are showing you love. So just kind of recognize that they're there, and that'll change the game.
There's a book I read called Tribes, by Seth Godin. I just looked up because I have it on my shelf over here. Tribes. It's a great book, especially if you want to be any sort of, not only in business but just a leader in life. And basically speaks about how most people are kind of, you know, everyone's looking to join something that's bigger than themselves. So when you set out to create your brand, you don't want to make it like you're this unreachable figure. You want to make it like you're the leader of a tribe, and everyone in that you interact with is in your tribe, because that'll make you so much more powerful, giving them voices, letting them be heard, and making them feel like they're a part of the team, which they are. You know, without any subscribers, you're nothing. So not that you're nothing, but your channel might be nothing. You know, give back to the people that are, you know, going out of their way to comment and like and share your stuff. They don't have to do that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, running deals, you just did like a major giveaway. It's just the little things of appreciation show people like, okay, this guy cares. He knows what we're doing is helping him, and I'm using his beats. It's kind of like it goes hand in hand. And just because you got 24,000 fans, the end goal is to have like a loyal fan base. You want to be a musician. You want to have people who just love your music and you as a person. So I think that's the end goal.
Yeah, I gave away $1,000 today for, you know, in thanks of my, you know, the people that are buying beats, buying leases, and helping me support myself and my career. And, you know, if you don't give back, it's, you know, it's hard to get far. I mean, I think a great example of it, like a tribe leader, and it's almost like a cult leader, was the way that Tyler came up with his fan base, because those Odd Future fans are some of the hardest. Like, they would ride hard for Tyler, like, oh, yeah, crazy, they would, you know?
Die for that, man. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, that's what you want at the end.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. I think just having, I would rather have 10,000 close fans than a million fans who might be gone in 2 weeks, you know?
True. Yeah. You don't want to be a fad, definitely.
No, never. Because then there's no longevity in that, though. The whole goal is to see how long you can go with whatever you're doing.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And it's a challenge. It's definitely not easy, but. All right, this is a good one. Someone asked this on the YouTube community thing. What is your, like, what's your attitude or your mindset when you make a beat? Do you sit down and have like an exact thing? Like, do you plan that day, like, I'm gonna make this, or do you have more of like, I'm just gonna go with the flow and see what happens?
Well, I know for me, I'm very go with the flow, but sometimes I will have like a little moment of inspiration. I'll listen to a song from an artist I like, and I'll try to use those elements. It you know, it's simple stuff, but like other days I'll just be playing around for hours and just trying to find something I like. I don't know if that really answers the question too well though.
Yeah, no, I think I'm the same way. It's kind of like, I think it depends on like what you're doing. I think when you start from scratch with no samples, you almost kind of not have to have a vibe in mind, but you kind of got to know which a similar direction you want to go in, whether you're going hard today or. But when you're using, like, when I was using samples, I would just kind of, like, go through Splice and just hit down on the arrow until something caught my attention. I'd be like, oh, cool. All right, let's use that. I think I made the first, like, I made a lot of beats with Splice samples.
Oh, yeah, me too. Definitely not as much, you know, not as much now, but a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's some gold in Splice. So if anyone is producing, if you get a Splice account, you can, for, what is it, $10 a month now?
I think it's like 7 or 8. It's like so cheap. How are you not doing this?
Yeah, and then, I mean, you sell one beat, you pay for that.
Yeah,
literally. So it's, yeah, it's pretty cool. I think sample packs and stuff like that definitely open a lot of doors for people who...
Oh, yeah.
And I think it was... Kendrick said this in his interview with Rick Rubin, is a musician is also someone who can chop a sample.
Yeah.
Like, oh, if
yeah.
you can sit down in a studio and chop a sample and make something mm-hmm. out of something that's repurposed, that's the same thing as someone who can play like keys and guitar. It's
agreed.
There's definitely a level of skill to that.
Also, I think like a really important thing for the argument of using samples rather than being against them is, at the end of the day, you're the one that's in charge of using it or not using it. You could pick the worst sample. You have to have the ear, and you have to have the word am I thinking of? You have to have the vision, or else you just have a loop. Like, you know, it's up to you to bring it to life. I think using pre-made samples is kind of gets like demonized sometimes, but at the end of the day, you have to bring it to life. It's just, it's no good without whatever you do to it. So,
yeah, and a lot of people hate on sampling. Like, a lot of people will tell you, like, oh, you drop a loop in there, you're not making music. But like you said, I mean, yeah. when you sample, you manipulate. Sometimes you do drop the sample in there and you don't change anything because it's just mm-hmm. that's the way it sounds. It's good.
Yeah.
But taking a sample or searching through samples, I think that's music too. And you told me this, like, 2 months ago. You were like, it doesn't matter how it starts, what happens in the middle when you're making it, all that matters is that what comes out the other end sounds good.
Because
no one is really seeing how you made that unless you're showing it to them and doing that process, but they just want a good beat that sounds good,
you know. Some of my favorite producers, I'm not gonna say the names or put them out in the spots, but some of my favorite producers, and they're my friends too, and I don't even know necessarily if it would be putting them on the spot, but I'll hit them up about a beat they made, and they're literally just like, nah, I just put the drums on that. And I'm like, oh my god, like, I thought like it was completely like original stuff, like they made the sample. Like, honestly, it doesn't matter, you know, because like I thought that the beat sounded insane. At the end of the day, who cares? That's it. You made that.
That's it. And as a producer, like, I feel like when I first started, I would get the question of like, oh, how did you make this? And like, you're always kind of scared to say, oh, it's a splice sample. But yeah. I mean, you don't lie and tell someone, oh, I made this from scratch, when not.
Right,
you know?
right.
That'll get you in trouble. But
definitely.
I think that's huge. I do have one more question, or a couple more maybe, but
all right.
How important do you think mixing is in the whole production process?
Mixing is a lot of people tell you it's definitely an art, and it's one that I still have to I'm still learning every day. It's definitely very important. I think one thing that can make people's beats instantly better is just learn about panning. A lot of the time your final mix could sound really, really muddy and stuff is going to clash together. I know initially when I was first making beats, I put my own guitar in, I would put my own bass guitar in, I would put my own drums over that, I would put some leads, and all the stuff would sound like it was just mashed together so horribly, like there was no room for anything, and it just sounded terrible. Like, all the elements were good, but put together, they sounded horrible. And I think that mixing is like really, really important to making something that people want to hear. Like, if you can't hear the sounds and the elements, you can't appreciate what the artist actually did. I don't know what you think about that, but
I 100% agree. It's like, I see kind of mixing is like my stepbrother taught me this. It's like a room. Like, you gotta, like, if you're listening to music in a room, like a live instrument in a room, you got to place it in certain parts of the room so it flows well together. Like, or sitting behind a drum kit, the hi-hat's a little off to the left.
Right, yeah.
It's just if you want to make your music sound realistic, it's things like that. I think it's super important. And it's not like you have to have, like, the most quality mixes. Nothing has to be insane. And most of the samples people use are still already out of the door. They're really good. Mm-hmm. But I think having a good mix is what gets you placements. Having that quality is kind of when, like, an artist comes along and they like the melodies, they like the drums, they'll be like, oh, well, this already sounds like I can just hop on it and make a hit record. And I think that's definitely important.
Yeah, I'm like I said, I'm still trying to work on that, and I think also a lot of the time, I think we spoke about this. I'm pretty sure this was us. How I think we did a collab once. We did that out of body one, and you were like, "Oh, your mixes are always so clean," and I was like, "Oh, I feel like my mixes are horrible." Like, I think it comes down to also like you're kind of judging your own process, and you're always going to be a little bit of a harsher critic on yourself, because I think your mixes are like perfect. They sound really clean, and like,
but and it's vice versa for you. It's like,
yeah, right. Yeah.
So. I think when you hear other producers, like the way they make things, you're kind of like, damn, you're always kind of putting yourself down, to your point.
Yeah.
Which is cool, because it kind of forces you to keep work a little harder and be competitive. Definitely. Not like you're trying to be better than anyone, but you're trying to just be at the same level.
A couple guys who gave me some really big tips on mixing are Saint. I'll always shout that dude out. He's one of the craziest producers there are, and he's really technically...
His quality is insane.
His quality is insane. Especially those 808s. Like, it's so hard to get a mix... to get an 808 to sound that hard without crushing it. Like, he walked me through his process. It was a little too complicated for me, but I picked up some things from him, and yeah. And also AE Beats has really, really nice mixes, really clean.
Yeah, I agree and with that.
Yeah, he's also a really good guy. He helped me with a lot of stuff coming up, so I appreciate those dudes.
Yeah, I think Six, or I always call him Six. I don't know why. Saint is definitely, when I, like, he showed me how important, like, tags and descriptions, like, he kind of, like, talked to me for, like, 2 hours one night, and I think that was definitely a game changer, because that stuff is important. You want to have good music, but you need to also build your channel to fit the YouTube algorithm, because you want to get heard at the end of the day.
Right.
And, but I also think, do you use, like, reference tracks and stuff like that when you're making music?
No, I know Saint does. He was showing me, but I never use reference tracks, honestly. Because I kind of just get into this like creative zone where it's more of a trial and error than like trying to replicate any sounds or anything like that. But I'm not against it or anything. I just don't use them.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think sometimes like the reason I'll use them is like leveling. Like if I think, oh, the snare might be too loud, it's like, all right, well, Mac Miller type beat. Let me listen to Mac Miller and see where his snare hits.
Right.
And, just to kind of get the quality where it needs to be, but
okay, yeah, I guess I do use them in that sense, like, just to get your levels right. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I can't. I feel like it'd be a pain in the ass to try and copy a beat. There's so much going on. It'd be like, ah.
Yeah.
Unless some people can. I think I think that's something like Versus could do. That guy is crazy.
Versus is a psychopath.
Yeah.
He's gonna be famous. He's gonna be very famous for something something music, very soon.
Yeah, I mean,
too,
he can make a no samples beat in 45 minutes. That sounds insane.
It sounds like it came from like the 70s or something too. Like he's just so nice with it. I don't know how he does it.
And then you watch the behind the scenes videos and you're like, what the hell?
Yeah, crazy. Is Kanye stuff? Oh my god.
Yeah, that's been fun to watch.
Oh my god, I always comment on, be like, this. You are like a million times better producer than me, and then like he'll just hype me up back. But like I think we both know he's way ahead.
Yeah, I think as producers, like we all kind of that's like important too. Like show love to other producers, because it's huge. We're all like you kind of don't really think there's a community there, but until you kind of start getting into it and it's talking to people, like everyone is super open.
Yeah, really.
Like, you could hit any, even Odd Status, you could hit any of the guys up and ask them, like, anything, and most of the time we'll just give you a very thorough answer.
Yep. Yeah, Odd Status is some good guys. I heard about them once.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yep. But, all right, I got one more question.
All right, cool.
Close it off with this. If you weren't producing, where do you think you'd be?
I would be, working in a hospital. I just graduated from school with my nursing degree, and I would be on the front lines fighting this COVID stuff.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you know,
and my
sister's
a nurse, so it's crazy.
Right. Yeah. So big ups to her. She's risking it a lot. Mm-hmm. Where would you be?
Yeah. Well, considering I'm still in college, I'd probably I worked at Chipotle before I started making beats.
You'd be where?
I worked at Chipotle before I started.
Oh my god, I heard that's hard.
Yeah, Dude, that's it was, tough. It, you get paid $11 an hour to, like, work your ass off.
Wow. Oh, my God.
But I think the one thing that's nice with being in school and making beats is it kind of, like, allows me to, if I need to focus more on school, I can't, because you have that, you have a lot more freedom.
Right.
I wouldn't say, you kind of do work for yourself, and it just gives you a lot more freedom to do things you like to do.
I think while being in school and doing music, it depends how you look at it, because it can be really tough at times, or it can be really, like, you feel like it's the best thing you're possibly doing, because if you don't plan your schedule the right way, you could end up making no beats a week. Like, it can be really easy to get lost in school, which is obviously the most important thing at this point. But if you set yourself up with a nice schedule and you're making three a week and you're setting the time and you're making money from your stuff while you it doesn't even feel like you're working a job, that's when you start winning, I think.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think you definitely, being in school and making beats, you sacrifice a lot of free time. Mm-hmm. But you got to kind of ask yourself, okay, like, when summer rolls around, you used to have 4 hours a day or 5 hours a day in class. Now you just keep doing your same beat schedule and put the 4 hours a day towards new ideas or friends. It's like,
right.
There's a lot of freedom with it, but
yeah. If you allow yourself the freedom, if you kind of, like, you know, squander your time, it's going to seem like you have no time to do it, but there's always time.
Yeah. Days are short. There's definitely not enough hours in the day, but it's just kind of like, make sure you use every hour the right way.
There is enough if you use them. If you're on Instagram 4 hours a day scrolling through fights or whatever, you're not gonna have enough time.
Hell no. Yeah, no. And I used to struggle with that. I'd, like, you'd sit down to make a beat and then you go on Instagram while you listen back to it, and the next thing you know, it's 45 minutes later, your beat's done. Yeah, but you just wasted an hour of your day.
Yep. Can't get that back.
Not at all.
That's why I actually keep a planner right by my desk, and I write out time slots of when I want to finish things by in the day, as a way of holding myself accountable and, you know, just staying organized.
Yeah, no, that's dope. I'm super big on, like, writing. I write everything on a notepad. I don't like to type anything on the computer. It's just kind of like, I feel like it goes into your head if you write it down.
Yeah, and you write it and you get to cross it off when you're finished. It feels great.
Yeah, it feels so good. And there are days, though, when it's like, you didn't cross it off. And it's kind of like, all right, what can I do tomorrow to ensure that, you know? Because I think, like, as a producer, you kind of, like, I do feel like, oh, I got to make a beat every day. But life sometimes hits you, like, your car breaks down. You got to get an oil change. You got a family dinner. It's like, there's certain things you got to do in life. I agree. Yeah. Yep. Cool. I mean, I think that's all I got, unless you got anything else.
Nah, I was going to ask you one more question, and then you asked me it, so I think we're good.
Yeah, cool, man. Well, I think it was a pretty successful first podcast.
I think so. I think we went a little long, but I hope people like listening to it.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, hopefully people find, like, some knowledge or ideas in here, because I don't know about you, but I feel like I get a lot of questions. It's kind of like, oh, what's your process? How do you do things? What's this and
right.
that? So I feel like this will help people kind of get more of a thorough answer.
Agreed.
So, cool, man. Cool. Well, thanks for joining.
Thank you for having me, man. Yep.